In Numbers 30, we have the vows and the oaths of men and women and how the Lord requires that these vows be kept. Hear now the reading of the Word of Almighty God, Numbers 30, starting at verse 1. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord, and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father hear her vow, and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand. And every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth, not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. And if she had at all an husband when she vowed, or uttered aught out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vows shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallowed her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. But every vow of a widow, and of her that is divorced, wherewith they have bound their souls, shall stand against her. And if she vowed in her husband's house, or bound her soul by a bond with an oath, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her, and disallowed her not, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. And if her husband hath utterly made them void in the day he heard them, then whatsoever proceeded out of her lips concerning her vows or concerning the bond of her soul shall not stand. Her husband hath made them void, and the Lord shall forgive her. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void. But if her husband altogether hold his peace at her from day to day, then he establisheth all her vows, or all her bonds, which are upon her. He confirmeth them, because he held his peace at her in the day that he heard them. But if he shall anyways make them void, after that he hath heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. These are the statutes which the Lord commanded Moses between a man and his wife, between the father and his daughter, being yet in her youth in her father's house. Thus far the reading of the Word of Almighty God from Numbers chapter 30. Quite a passage. The Lord intends that when we speak something, when we say and make a promise to bind ourselves, whether with a formal oath or some kind of bond, or merely with the words uttered in promise to God or to our neighbor, God expects that we will keep these oaths and vows. Oaths and vows may not be taken to do evil, as we see elsewhere in Scripture. There are curses people took to murder the Apostle Paul. That was not a lawful vow. But for any lawful thing that may be done according to God's commandments, when we make a promise, either to God in vow or to men in the oath, we must keep our word. God requires it of us, and God will punish us if we do not keep them. Verses 1 and 2 give us the general rule. All vows must be carefully performed, especially by men. Notice verse 1, unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel. These were the shepherds, their governors. They needed to know and to guide the people when they should judge if someone had made a vow or a woman had made a vow. When did she make it? What did her authority say? They would need to know those things, and so these rules are given to them. Verse 2 says, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond. Now the Dutch annotations, when it says a bond, they say this, as bodies are bound with ropes and cords to keep them in a certain place, so the souls of men are bound by vows made to the Lord, so that they will remain firm and steadfast to what they vowed. So we are bound, we're to be kept in one place when we use these forms of vowing or of oath-taking. Notice verse 2, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. This is how he is bound, to continuously do whatever he has said. Once the word proceeds out of your mouth, the bond is created and may not be ruptured. Now, the only exception, as I mentioned, are things like Acts 23:14. They bound themselves to murder a man. You must not keep such an oath. It's a sin to make the oath. It would be a second sin to keep the oath. Otherwise, all vows are to be kept for any lawful purpose. So then, this doctrine, we are to be men of our word. What we say, we must do, even if we don't take a formal oath. You'll notice the text distinguishes, if anything proceeds out of your mouth, or if you bound your soul with an oath or a bond. In either case, we are to be men of our word. We are to do what we have promised, especially in vows to God, where we promise to God to do specific things, but even in promises to men. So we have vows of church office. I, as a pastor or other elders, they make a vow to God. If you are a member of a congregation, you make vows of church membership. You say you will do specific things. I say I will do specific things. We must keep these vows. There are the vows of marriage made before God, promising concerning husbands and wives. Those vows must be kept. When we have our children baptized, we make vows on their behalf, as well as our vows as parents, to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. These are serious things. We must keep them. People make business contracts or oaths. Magistrates, when they enter into their office, they take an oath of office, or even just words we speak. We must not play the fool by violating our word, but we must be wise and imitate God, God who is faithful, who says he will do something, and then does he fail to do it? No, so he requires that we who bear his image, we are to do likewise. Verses 3 through 16, then, we have the vows of women in their various statuses, either under their father's authority, under their husband's authority, or under their own authority. Verses 3 through 16. Notice the first status, verse 3, in her father's house, in her youth. This is sometimes referred to the status of a virgin. It's an unmarried woman still in her father's house. Verse 4 says that her father shall, if he shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall be established or shall stand. Now, holding your peace is where you don't say something. You might have something to say, but you don't say it. So he establishes her vows by his silence. In fact, we have a rule in the English common law, adopted in all the states except Louisiana, which says, he who is silent, when he ought to have spoken and was able to, is taken to consent. Or it's abbreviated, silence is consent. If you have the opportunity and the ability and you say nothing, it's like you agree to it. You say, I consent. And so here, the father, if he doesn't say anything, he consents to the vows made by his daughter. He cannot say, well, I disagreed, I just didn't say anything. Okay, well, then you agreed. You can't say that you disagree when you didn't say anything. This is why the consent of a father is sought for his daughter when she desires to marry or make large decisions or utter words of promise. She must run it through her dad. She must make sure he's on board because he has the power to nix it and to say, no, you're not marrying that man. It is within his power to do so. And notice God's mercy to those under authority in verse 5. The Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. He not only has authority as her father, but he has power to release her from her binding herself under God's cognizance. God will not hold that as a broken vow if the dad said, no, you're not doing that. That's a very powerful protective mechanism that God put for girls under authority. Marxists who hate God say, oh, this is awful. These poor girls, they can't make their own decisions. Well, notice God says, I will forgive her. I will not hold her liable to keep that vow if her father says, no, you may not keep it. And notice, young women, you are subject to your father's authority in the Lord. He cannot require you to sin. He cannot require you to do evil. But in such matters of indifference, your father has the right to say, no, you're not doing that. You don't have the right to make your own agreements. You're not under your own authority. You're under your father's authority. And notice, he does not impose an age limit. Oh, you're under your father's authority until you're 18. He doesn't say that. No, it's when you're in your father's house in your youth, before you are what? Married. Those are the two statuses. So then, as our society has many single women who are miserable, who are acting as if they were men, who behave themselves as men in the world, there is no such status of a woman who goes off still in her virginity and lives on her own. The Bible doesn't recognize that. It's not a valid category. It is a category intended to destroy women and to destroy marriage and to encourage the murder of infants in the womb, which we call abortion. So then, young ladies, I exhort you, do not rashly enter into vows or oaths. Do not rashly give your word. If you have a major decision in your life, consult your father. He can nix it. He can say no under God's authority and say, no, I don't want you to do that thing. And that would be an unpleasant situation, would it not? So then seek in advance for the consent of your father. Verse 6 says, and if she had at all an husband. This is the second status the Bible recognizes. After a woman is under her father's authority, she's under her husband's authority in marriage. Verse 7 says, her husband heard it, and he held his peace at her in the day that he heard it. He can't take a long time. He can't wait around to make up his mind. He must know what is good for her and what is bad for her, and he must act right away. He must not be hemming and hawing. So men, let us learn, and boys, as you grow, let us learn to be decisive, to be men of decision, men who have our senses exercised to discern good and evil, men who understand the characteristics, perhaps the strengths and weaknesses of our daughters, so that we can make a good decision in her best interest. Not as a capricious, wicked fool, not as a rash or self-seeking man, but rather knowing the girl, what is good for her, what would be a blessing for her, what would not. Boys, you must practice this. You must learn good and evil. You must be decisive and you must follow through on your words. Don't be a fence sitter, as we say. Remember when Elijah was on Mount Carmel? How long do you halt between two opinions, he asked Israel? If Jehovah's God, serve him. If Baal's God, serve him. Stop sitting on the fence. Oh, I can't make up my mind. I don't know. Well, then you're going to ratify all her vows, he says. Notice then verse 8. Then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips wherewith she bound her soul of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. Same theme in verse 12. Notice here that women who are married are subject to their husbands. We thought, well, now I'm married, I can get away from authority. No, that's not how God thinks of it. It goes from your father to your husband, girls. 1 Corinthians 14:34, which we will read, God willing, later, says, but they are commanded to be under obedience, that is, women, And then Paul says this, as also saith the law. Ah, but Paul, don't you understand that God started off the Bible in this, let's say, Neanderthal stage? And then the New Testament, we kind of got to Homo sapiens. And now today we know so much better than God knew in the Old Testament that everyone is equal and everything is the same. No, that's not true. God is an eternal God of eternal truth. And the deliverance here in Numbers 30 says that women are to be under authority and obedience, Paul says. And that is applicable to the church in the New Testament, the church of Gentiles at Corinth. So God here recognizes these Old Testament laws, both in the New and Old Testament. The force and authority of them is still in place. Wives, I exhort you then to learn to be obedient to your husbands, to acquiesce to his decisions. He has power from God to nullify agreements or vows or oaths that you might make to bind yourself. And note that this is for your good. God says he will forgive the wife. He will not expect her to do what she said and therefore hold her liable as a sinner if she doesn't do it. You see that? This is for your good, for your blessing. But even if you don't think it's for your good and you say, but honey, this is a great thing I'm promising to do. It's for God's glory. And your husband says, no, I don't think it is. You must submit to that. Notice then verse 9, every vow of a widow and of her that is divorced, wherewith they have bound their souls, shall stand against her. This is the third status, an independent woman. She has no covering. She has no shield. She is exposed to direct responsibility in this case. She will be held liable for everything she says if she's a widow or if she is divorced. Then in verse 13, he goes back to the husband establishing or making void. Again, these are discretionary vows binding the soul by an oath, but still subject to the will of her husband. Verse 14, if her husband altogether hold his peace at her from day to day, then he establisheth all her vows. I thought that just the first day he established it. Well, yes, that is correct. But the Bible often speaks of something as done or completely done when it goes further down the line. So from day to day. Day one, he hears of it. He says nothing. Day two, he still says nothing. Day three, he still says nothing. He confirms it again and again and again. And if on day four he says, well, I've changed my mind, too bad. You've already confirmed it from day to day. You should have spoken up sooner. You should have voiced your concern. The Westminster annotations say, he should allow or disallow the same day he first heareth them, as verse 8. But if he held his peace from day to day, he more and more confirmed and establish them. I've known men who allowed their daughter to marry. He walked her down the aisle in one case. He gave her over to the man and he said nothing and walked away. And then he complained years later, well, I never consented to that. Well, yeah, I told him, yes, you did. Because you said nothing. And from day to day, you continually said nothing. You confirmed what she did. You should have spoken now. Or what? Forever hold your peace. Be silent. Don't say a word about this in the future. Verse 15, if he shall anyways make them void after that he heareth them, then he shall bear her iniquity. Notice his silence transfers the responsibility to himself. Again, we think, well, it's awful, it's horrible, it's patriarchal oppression. God says, no, it's actually additional responsibility here. The man has additional responsibility. As the saying goes, heavy is the head that wears the crown. If you govern and you rule, you are held to additional responsibilities. We saw this in 2 Samuel. Saul had fought against those that Israel made an oath to protect, the Gibeonites. And guess what happened? Saul's descendants died because of that. He was the head. He was the governor. He was also the head of his family. And therefore, God said, I'm going to punish your family for your evil deed. Heavy's the head that wears the crown. And then notice verse 16. This is what the Lord commanded Moses. This is not a mere Mosaic statute meant only for the particular people of Israel and their particular status. No, this is of common equity from the light and law of nature, which teaches the order of God's creation between male and female, even daughters growing into wives. And here God gives a specific stamp and impress and says, this is what the light of nature requires. As also saith the law, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14. Thus far the explanation of the word of Almighty God from Numbers chapter 30.